So hey everybody, and welcome back to Two Ladies in the Kingdom. I'm Sylvie, a fighter in Pattaya, and this is Emma, fighter in Bangkok.
Hey.
And it has been a while since we've put out a podcast, so we have a theme, but we're just going to be kind of playing catch up for a little bit, and then we'll talk about what's going on with female Muay Thai a little bit after that. But we are sponsored by Low Blow, which makes the only female groin guard that works and isn't ridiculous. That's a good product. And so, Emma, you want to start? What's been going on with?
Oh, it's been so long since our last one. Do you know how many months it's been?
It's been so long. I don't know.
I don't even really want to know. I think the last time we did one, I had just got to my new gym.
Yeah.
And we were just talking about that. So since then, I had my first fight with them, which was really cool. I ended up fighting a girl who I fought like 2 years ago. And at the time that I fought her, there was like a really big weight difference. But since then, like, she lost a bunch of weight and I gained a bunch of weight and we kind of evened out. So we're kind of the same for this fight. I didn't win. I lost it on points, like, narrowly. But I had a really good time. It was a really good experience. Annoyingly, like, the video got lost somewhere, so.
But it had been more than a year since the last fight.
I don't have video of it, but it was really, really fun. It was almost exactly a year. It was like a year and a week or something like that.
Wow.
Yeah, so it was really good just to kind of get back in, and it felt really good to fight with my new team and everything. So the loss didn't matter to me at all. Like, it was just a really good experience overall.
And then you went home right after that, yeah?
I went home, like, yeah, 2 weeks after that. And then I was surprised because I got home and then I checked my Facebook and it was like, oh, Sylvie's fighting without gloves today.
Kevin and I were just trying to figure out whether I had had my first Kartchuk fight when we had our last podcast. But yeah, so I started fighting Kartchuk and I've now had two Kartchuk fights and I fucking love them. I really, really like it. I'm going to be having a third at the start of September. Yeah, close to me, actually. Anytime the Thais ask me where I'm fighting, I can't pronounce Nong Nuch properly. That's right here. It's like 11 kilometers away or something.
Oh.
Yeah, it's close. It's like on the way to Satahip. But so that's cool.
That's awesome.
It gets to be close to me.
Is it going to be televised?
It is, yeah.
And this is kind of a dumb question because we're in Thailand, but do you know who you're fighting?
I'll say kind of, because the promoter sent me a photo of who I'm supposed to be fighting, but he's done that before, and then it's not who he says it is. So I have a photo of who he says I'm fighting, but that doesn't mean that is who I'm fighting.
Do you recognize the photo, the girl in the photo?
No, she looks very big, though. She looks maybe close to 60 kilos.
Wow, okay.
Yeah. They keep making them bigger. What do I do?
Is that on the 1st of September?
Yeah.
Okay, I'm fighting on the 2nd.
And you said you're fighting the same girl?
I believe so, yeah. Yeah, fighting the same girl.
Do you feel any different about the fight now that you're back?
I felt good about going into the fight last time, even though I literally had like 3 weeks proper training for it. But yeah, I feel good about it. Yeah, I'm happy to fight her again. I think I'll be better this time because last time, like, I hadn't fought in so long that my distance was so off. I missed so many kicks. It was really frustrating.
Now that you're at Attachai's for a while, he's been kind of changing your style, which is, of course, when you go to a new gym, any gym has kind of what their emphasis is, but you've been there for a while now, so how do you feel in terms of, like, altering what you were coming in there with versus now having spent time there?
I think his style, like, works really well for me. He's been telling me constantly, like, stop rushing. Well, not only him, like, all of the trainers have been telling me, like, stop rushing. Well, actually, his brother keeps telling me stop going backwards, and everybody else tells me stop rushing. So it is a little bit confusing. But yeah, he's been like taking time to step in during pad work and kind of alter my movement and remind me to kind of flow a little bit more and not be so stiff. You know how like Thai people are really good at like modeling what you did and making you look like a fucking idiot.
Yes.
He does that. He like kind of he'll stand at the pads and just like RoboCop and like, don't do this. I'm like, okay. Like, got it. Right, okay. So he's been.
I've had that same thing where I'm realizing that every single trainer I've ever had has told me not to rush, but this kind of realization that you have your own pace, and so it's rushing for you, you know, like I'm not as fast as a lot of the kids at my gym, but I'm also not as slow as some of the fighters. So like it's just not rushing for me rather than like that there's a tempo that you have to keep up with or something.
Yeah, I feel like I was always told at my old gym like to stop thinking so much, which was right. I spent a lot of time like waiting and thinking, and then I tried to get into this thing of just throwing things, but they're kind of trying to slow me down here, which I think is working out better for me. Whenever they do that, like the timing just is there immediately. I'm like, oh, and I always do this.
There's also at your last gym, everything was like be first, but
Yes.
as a female fighter, it's mainly countering, which is not being first at all.
Yeah,
It's like being
and
second.
I'm not good at being first at all either. So that was something that I always like struggled with. Yeah, so I feel really comfortable where I am right now. It's really good.
And then I wanted to hear about your going home because I've never gone home, and it's been a while for you between the last time you went and this time. What is that like?
So I used to go home like every year for a few weeks, and this time I didn't go home for 2 years because like my parents and then my brother and that came out to visit me finally after like 5 years of me living here. I convinced them to come out here so that I didn't have to pay for a flight home. So I went home for the first time in 2 years, and usually when I'm at home, like after a few days, I'm like, fucking get me out of here, like I'm done now. And at least at the very end of my trip, I'm like, oh, I'm so glad to be going back. But weirdly, this time it wasn't like that. I was actually kind of like sad to be leaving home this time. And I know it sounds really lame because I'm only like about to turn 29 in 2 weeks, but I think it's just part of like getting a bit older. Like, and even though my family annoy the shit out of me, like sometimes wanting to be a bit closer to them. So I really enjoyed being at home, but like, I think anyone who has spent any time like abroad or any length of time abroad, like you kind of find it hard to connect with people sometimes when you go back. Like you don't, I really try not to be like in Thailand in every fucking conversation because that's really annoying. But also like it's my life, and I know how annoying it sounds to everyone else. They're like, yeah, we fucking get it. You live in Thailand. Shut the fuck up. Like I was in a bar, which like I fucking never go to bars. I don't drink, but that's what everybody does at home. So I was at a bar, like really uncomfortable. And this guy comes up to me, who I do not want to fucking talk to at all. And he's like, "Well, do you know any good places to go around here?" And I was like, "I don't live here. Like, I just wanted him to go away." Like, and he was like, "Where do you live?" I'm like, "This is not the conversation I wanted. Like, I don't live here. I don't know." And he's like, yeah, but where do you live? I'm like, oh, Thailand. And then he's like, oh, and that has this big conversation. I'm like, yeah, fuck off though.
No, Emma, that's when you give a fake answer. Like, you think of the
I know.
dumbest place to live ever that's so boring, and
Yeah.
then they won't ask you.
I know. Yeah. And this other drunk guy, I'm really bad at like telling people to fuck off. This other drunk guy starts talking to me. It was kind of annoying because I was with these three girls. And then this group of like three Marines came over, and then the two guys are talking to the two girls, and then the other one singles me out, and I'm like, well, now every time I try and escape the conversation, the girls are already like engaged with these guys, and I'm like, fuck, there's no one for me to talk to. And these kind of situations are so alien to me right now because I don't spend any time in these spaces anymore. And obviously, this guy asked what I do. I'm like, yeah, I do Thai boxing, whatever. And then he's obviously finds it so fascinating. And you know how drunk people are really fucking annoying? This guy, he would lean in so close to talk to me. I headbutted him three times, three separate occasions. I headbutted him. Yeah. And he was not, like, deterred at all. Like, he had no sense of what was going on. In the end, we just had to leave. I was so happy to leave. But what was funny is, like, my good friends, like, they don't give a shit that I don't drink. But, like, the other girls, like, that I just met during that trip who were there, one of them actually, like, expressed discomfort that I didn't drink. Like, I'll still, like, go out and have fun or, like, dance or whatever, make a dick out of myself when I'm not drinking. And this one girl was like, I can't dance because Emma's not drinking. I was like, well, that's your fucking problem.
So that's not your new best friend.
Well, no, no. No, I just met that girl. I just found it a bit weird.
So then when you come back to Thailand, so, you find, like, elements of the culture that you're like, oh, well, this now, I'm glad to be back in this comfort zone versus the, like, comfort of going home and being with your family. Like, does it go both ways? Are you like, thank God I'm back in this context ever?
I remember the first couple of times I was going home after living here for a while, I felt like reverse culture shock, like, real strong. I remember one time when I just wanted to get, like, a taxi. And I walked out to the street and, you know, trying to wait for a taxi. And my friend was like, I mean, you can't, you have to call a taxi. Like, you have to go to a taxi rank or call someone. I'm like, why can't I just get one on the street? And I realized, like, oh, I'm not in Bangkok anymore. Like, and then I felt like an idiot because I got in the taxi and was like, what do I say? Like, what do I talk to him about? And another thing that was weird to me on this trip home, because as I said before, like, I gained a lot of weight recently and I got home and everyone was like, ooh, okay, that's different. I've told all my family, like, oh, you know, Thai people will just tell you you're fat to your face kind of thing. And one of my mum's best friend was visiting and she was, like, in the kitchen chatting to my mum and I had walked out and gone upstairs to do something. And my mum had later told me that as soon as I'd walked out in the room, she'd been like, oh, Emma's put on some weight, hasn't she? Oh, you know? And it's funny because when I did walk back into the room, she was like, is it true that Thai people will just tell you to your face how fat you are? And then after I found this out, I was like, I don't really know what I prefer. Like, maybe I would prefer if you said it to my face rather than behind my back.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. Yeah, whereas I used to be, like, really offended when Thai people would tell me I'm fat. I'm still offended. I won't lie. I'm still offended.
Yeah, I think
basically just shut up. Yeah, just don't tell me I'm fat. Don't tell other people I'm fat. Just fuck off in general. That's my attitude. but that was interesting.
I was walking out of the gym the other day, and I don't know if maybe I actually was bloated or if it was just like the combination of shorts and t-shirt I was wearing. But this 17-year-old kid who I've known for a couple of years is like sitting on a motorbike, and I just say, you know, like, bye as I'm walking out, and he goes, Sylvie, you've gotten fatter already. Thanks for the goodbye. Like, what the fuck?
Yeah.
And it was just like, it's like, this is something that I need to say at this moment. And it's just, it's one of those things that, like, I don't know, he's a little punk kid, so it didn't, like, super offend me, but it never makes your day better, you know?
Like, it's never, no, certainly not. It's never when like I first got back, when I first got back to work, I was teaching a class, and remember, I teach adults, right? And I started a class, and this guy was like, oh, you have a good time at home? You ate a lot, right? Like, I was like, mm-hmm. Anyway.
Oh, yeah. Man. did you find a new condo nearer to your gym?
I did. I'm moving in at the end of this month, or the first of next month, yeah.
And then how far is that from your new job, or potentially new job?
It's like a little bit further. But where I work, there's a few branches, and it's actually closer to another branch, and the condo has like a free bus that goes there. What? So I'll probably just transfer to the closer place.
That's nice.
Yeah, so, and I'll be able to like run to the gym. At the moment, like, I have to deal with traffic on the way to and from the gym, and it's really annoying, so I'm really happy. And I won't have to get up as early in the morning, which is also nice.
Nice. You'll have to deal with the flooding.
Yes. Yeah, the area is not good. The floods. Yeah, I'm excited about that.
So I've been on this very long stint of being sick in various degrees. So it just started out with like a cold that wasn't that big of a deal, but I guess because my immune system was down from the cold, one of the Western kids at the gym came in with, I'm not entirely sure what it is because Pinu seems to think that staph, chickenpox, and ringworm are all the same thing.
Okay.
So, I'm not sure what he had, but it appears that he gave chickenpox to two of the boys. So I suspect he had shingles and then gave chickenpox to the boys because they hadn't had it when they were kids.
Uh-huh.
And then due to my own like stress and freaking out from all of this different stuff going on, including this like mental training program that I'm doing, I got shingles on my face, which sucked, but it forced me to take time away from training, which I never ever do. And it was kind of this amazing thing where I actually had to like really truly rest during that time because I had to take my stress down. I finally just got back to the gym after like a week off and everything's cleared up and it's really, really good. And so I just started clinching again, maybe like 3 days ago or something. And now I have staff because this group, from again, Westerners came into the gym and I guess they're not familiar with staff. So they didn't know what it was. And the kids have like many, many boils and we're like clinching with our boys. So like it basically got into our pool and now I don't know how long it's going to stay there because it just keeps like once it's been introduced everyone is just kind of like in that space. So
is this the same group of boys or two separate groups of boys bringing diseases into your gym?
Two separate. The first one is a kid who's there all the time and Pinu totally yelled at him and his dad for coming in and bringing that in. And then right after that, it was the end of the IFMA Youth Championships, so a lot mm-hmm. of people stayed in Thailand and, like, went to gyms to kind of maximize their time. And it's one of these things where, like, I kind of sympathize where if you don't live in this climate, like, I had never seen staph ever when I lived in America, and I'd heard about it. Like, you see signs in gyms that are, like, make sure that you wash after training, blah, 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 because of staph, but I'd never seen it. So I understand that they might not know what it is, but it's so gross when it gets to that like boily state. You'd think
mm-hmm.
that you'd go see someone about that because they have it like.
Yeah, I mean, even if you don't know what it is, you know it's fucked. Like, it does not look good. I had staph for the first time on my face when I was in Chiang Mai from a gym there. That was fucking horrible.
Yeah.
But your face actually looks normal now. You don't have...
The lighting's nice. I have the staff starting here and there. So now I have to, you know, like, pull myself away from the training again, and I'm on antibiotics again.
Like, when's the last time you took a week off training?
I don't think I ever have. Maybe when I got my first, like, huge thing of stitches from Lomini, I think I maybe had 7 to 9 days off.
Okay.
I went and, like, disinfected the bags and stuff like this, like, just trying to, like, get the gym in a better place. But it's one of these things where, like, people assume that the gym has to be clean and so they don't clean themselves when really, like, cleaning yourself is the main thing. And I'm not a filthy person. Like, I always rinse myself off and shower after training.
Yeah.
But now I have to, like, bring a bottle of disinfectant to the gym so that I can rinse off before coming home, which is, like, a 5-minute difference. I definitely don't want more of this. So it's one of those things where like learning how to be in a gym space and especially in gym spaces where there are people coming from all over the world, like, you know, you can get all kinds of weird colds and stuff. It makes it sound like this is a petri dish, which it's not. This is like one outbreak at the gym that's been very unfortunate. But it's been rough having to like go through all of that in succession.
Mm-hmm.
But what's kind of amazing about it is that because I'm doing this mental training program with Nii Shobo, it's like I have to work on it mentally as it's happening, but I'm also stressed because of the mental training I've been doing. So it's like, it totally is this like self-contained situation where like I'm learning the tools to deal with my frustration at the same time as having that frustration, you know.
Yeah. I mean, to implement that right away, but I guess that's good.
Yeah, so it's a group. It's 12 people and we meet what for me is Tuesday morning. I guess it's Monday night for everyone else. And we're basically just being like walked through all of these different skill sets for mental training and like learning how to manage your time and kind of it's really intensive in terms of like how much work it is. But it's also the kind of stuff that you can apply so broadly across any kind of, like, if you're an entrepreneur or an athlete or just trying to get your shit together in life or whatever. But I think what's been so strong of an experience for me is that I thought I was pretty good with my mental training. I'm kind of self-taught in it, like listening to books and podcasts and reading and stuff like that. And I thought I was pretty good at it. But it's the difference between, like, you think you're pretty awesome because you hit the bag really well, and then you get into sparring and you get your ass kicked. This is the, like, actual contact, like, getting contact with actually having to face your shit and, like, oh, I don't manage my time well. And, like, that would be so much less stressful if I just actually made time for it and stuff like that. Yeah. It's incredibly hard, but I think that it's the kind of thing that, like, once you actually embrace it and get good at the, like, skill set of it, it takes away a lot of the difficulty of it. Like once you've actually made your list of shit to do for the week, then you just do it. Like, it's hard to make the list, but it's not hard to, like, complete the list or something like that.
How long is the course?
It's 12 weeks, and we're in week 6 right now.
Oh, wow, that went fast.
Yeah.
Although it doesn't seem fast for you. I'm sure it seems like never-ending for you.
No, it seems like it's going pretty fast. But I had a one-on-one call with me the other night, and I had had a really bad experience at the gym and was kind of, like, working through my immature emotional response to my training. And it was really, really helpful. And then he's like, yeah, so in a couple of weeks, we're going to be doing the emotional playbook. It's going to be really fun. And I'm like, my emotions aren't fun. They're really bad. So I think that was maybe he can make it fun through that process, but it's hard, man. Like, you get into these habits of, like, the same things happening will trigger you into the same shitty emotion over and over again. It's like, I don't want to feel that way. Like, why not find a different way to respond to that? But I guess it's that I feel so, like, vindicated in that I should be able to be upset about things rather than, like, I don't like it, my gym doesn't like it, nobody likes it. Like, I should just change.
Yeah, I've had to, like, keep on top of that a little bit with, like, coming to a new gym and realizing people don't know me here, people don't know how I work, like, they don't understand, like, you know, my personality completely. So quite a few times, Pruat has thought that I was, like, angry.
Right.
Had to come. I am not, like, I realize when I, like, look at videos of my training, I'm like, oh, I look like I'm fucking really pissed off when I'm, like, hitting pads or sparring or clinching or something. But a couple of times he had to, like, stop me and was like, just, you don't be angry when you train, like, you know, just chill out, it's fine. I'm like, I'm having a nice time. And he's like, yeah, right, you look like you're like a bitch right now. Maybe he'll get it eventually, but I have to just, like, I can't just be like, well, that's just the way I am, because that is what my mom does, and that pisses me off. So I'm trying to adjust, and, you know, it's hard for me.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm in a new environment, so I've kind of, it goes both ways.
Yeah, I definitely, I like to kind of shell up and just focus on my own thing, like, keep my head down, like, do my own work, and kind of, like,
yeah.
When it's too much at the gym, I just like to shroud myself, but it doesn't actually help. Like, I don't actually feel better when I do that. I just don't like kind of being forced into small talk or something. So I think that the slow realization that, like, I'm not ever going to be that person who's, like, walking around smiling and, like, I'm not bubbly, but at the same time,
I was just gonna say that.
At the same time, like, it does not hurt to I guess make a concerted effort to know that I'm coming off a way I don't want to come off, and to kind of, you know, translate that a little bit.
I think you get the same thing that I get when people are like, oh, I thought that you hated me when we first met.
Yeah.
And I'm like, what?
You're like, I didn't think about you very much.
Yeah, and that doesn't sound good either. Don't say that. That's not going to help.
Yeah. Yeah, there was a guy at my gym who was like, oh, I thought that you wouldn't talk to me because you didn't like me. And I was just like, I don't really talk to anybody. Like, I kind of only talk to you and like three of the boys. Like, I'm really not super social. So it's interesting how, one, I am coming off a way that I don't necessarily want to come off. But at the same time, that's also other people's problems where, like, they don't see me chatting and laughing to everyone else, and it's just them who I'm not talking to. Like, I don't talk to anybody. So it's interesting how we make stories up to interpret, like, what we think is happening in any given situation, and very often they're inaccurate.
Yeah.
The hard part. So Kevin's reminding me that the very hard part about this mental training for me is, like, goal setting.
Right.
I don't like setting goals. My brain doesn't really work that way. I get really super uncomfortable, even about stuff that seems like it doesn't really matter that much. Like, if I were to set a goal that I'm not super committed to, like, I want to be able to kick 60 kicks on a bag in, like, a minute or something. I'm uncomfortable setting that goal, and I'm not even, like, really connected to it. But then setting goals that I'm super connected to, like, what kind of fighter I want to be, or, like, where I want to be in 5 years, or, you know, fighting in the Olympics or something like that, it's like, anxiety-producing to
yeah, like those job interview questions, basically.
Yeah, and it's one of these things where, like, I fail at things all the time, but they don't seem super important to me. So then, like, if I get upset about something that's not that important to me not getting it done, then something that really is important to me and I don't get it done, like, the pain of that or the consequence of that feels really, really huge. So I'm kind of being forced to confront that in a very serious way, because you have to set goals. Like, that's, there's no mental training program that's like, but no goal setting.
that wouldn't work.
That is mental training. So, it's kind of cool. There are parts of it that are easy. Like, we had to visualize our perfect day. And that was super, super easy for me. And then when it's like, but make a statement about your perfect self, like, visualize your perfect self. And I'm like, oh, I don't know. Taller. I don't know.
What'd you say about your perfect day?
It's pretty close to what my days are like right now, just with a much better attitude.
Right. Okay.
It's, you know, waking up feeling rested and healthy and going to training and kind of, getting past whatever difficulties I might have, but feeling really good in pad work and stuff like that. Which it's awesome that those are my visions, because it's super achievable if I just, like, get my attitude right. But then you also have to think of something bigger. Like, when I was listening to the people in my group, they think way bigger than I do. They're like, I wake up in my multi-million dollar mansion with my model girlfriend sleeping next to me and get in my, like, name some expensive car that I don't know cars. And
yeah,
like, they're thinking, like, big, big, big. And I don't really think about stuff like that, but that is kind of the idea, is this, like, no limits, like, think as huge as possible kind of thing. And that doesn't mean I have to, like, care about how huge my house is or something, but they do need to be out of reach goals in order to, like, expand your mind and not just be like, I want to live in the apartment next to the one that I'm living in. What does that do?
I think with both of us, like, none of our goals are about, like, us and things.
Yeah.
So, like, talking about, like, houses and cars is not gonna, like, get us excited. Like, this is I had a weird thing, like, after I came back from home, because while I was back, like, one of my cousins came around and was like, oh, what are you and your twin sister gonna do for your 30th? And I was like, what? He's like, your 30th? It's like a year and a half away. And I was like, well, I never considered that. Can you not, like, and my dad had been like, Oh, so what are you going to do about like a pension? And I was like, Dad, like, why are you doing these things? But since I came back to Thailand, I found out my sister's actually going to have a baby, which is really cool. But it also made me like, oh, like, do I want to be this far away kind of thing? I don't know. And I had like a weird crisis. And I tell you, I have never ever wanted to own a house or like an apartment. Never wanted to own a property in my life. And for some weird thing, I did like a mortgage calculator online and was like, but if I wanted to, what could I do? And that was really depressing. And I don't recommend anyone ever doing that. I abandoned that idea pretty quickly. But it was, and then I realized, like, I don't want to do any of these things. It's just like the social pressure of like everyone around me being like, I feel like I should have a house and a kid by now, so let's do that. And I've managed to like avoid that for so long. But it was easy when I first came out here and I was like, I'm 22, I don't need to think about any of those things. So that's kind of come back to me at the moment.
That is
It's hard.
definitely one of those like who you hang around thing though, you know?
Yeah, definitely. Because anyone here I mentioned it to were like, Jesus Christ, don't do that. Like, why would you do that?
So, Angie, the Katoy who is a fighter at my gym, she has this huge side bet big fight coming up. And
Oh, yeah.
Montum called her, like
Oh,
on the
wow.
phone. So first Montum called my trainer to see if Angie could come fight at Asia Teak, actually.
Okay.
For those who don't know, Nongtoom is the beautiful boxer, the first very famous Katoy ladyboy boxer. But so Pinu gave her Angie's phone number, and she called Angie, and she's been like checking up on her and all of this very cool stuff. And I think that I've seen this huge change in Angie's kind of disposition and how she's training at the gym, because she's been training really hard as is, but she has people in her family who are like, you're 33, like, why aren't you married? You're too old. You should be like in this career and blah blah blah. Like, you are not in a place in your life where this makes any sense. Like, this is something that a 16-year-old would be doing. So
Right.
having Nongtoom call her and be like, this is what I do with my hormones when I have to fight and blah blah blah, and like all this stuff that's like very focused on Muay Thai and believing in her and just checking up and seeing like, how are you feeling? It motivated her so much, and it made me realize how important it is to like plant good seeds around you know? Like, don't listen to the people who are like, why don't you have a baby yet if you're not interested in having a baby? Like, if you are interested in having
Exactly.
a baby, put those people all around you. It's awesome, whatever.
Exactly. That's really awesome, Baha. When is the fight?
It's on the 28th.
Ooh, soon.
It's very soon, so I'm gonna go corner for her, and I'm very excited about that. But she's a it's interesting because on the Muay Siam line, like they have a group chat online to talk about this. People are talking about Angie as though she's been fighting for like 5 years and has all of these like big fights and experience and all this stuff, which just simply isn't true. She's been fighting for like 1 year and 4 months or something. But they're all very like talking her up and like, oh, this guy can't fight her, she's too good, blah blah
Awesome.
blah. So it's nice to have people speaking so highly of her behind her back, you know?
Can we talk about the fight that Nong Rose has got coming up?
Oh, Jesus.
Because I do not feel positive about
You
that.
introduce it, 'cause I have a funny thing to say.
Well, I don't know the name of the dude she's fighting. I forgot.
I don't remember his first name, but he's from the Sing Mani Gym, which is famous for Hippie.
And he's coming out of retirement after how long to fight her?
Like 100 years.
Yeah,
He's
he
old.
looks like haggard. And how I can't remember how much money is on it, but it's a lot.
It is a lot. I think it's in the a million, maybe.
Yeah.
It's a lot of money, and he, I think, will weigh two.
We did a lot of research, as you can tell.
No, I think he's allowed to weigh in like 3 pounds heavier, 2 pounds heavier than her or something. But Pinu is like sure that it's not going to go past the second round unless the promoter has been like, don't knock him out. Like, he doesn't think that there's
Yeah.
any chance that this is a real
I just think
fight.
it's bullshit. Like, she could fight anyone, and why do they have to make it this big, like, freak show.
Yeah,
Like, I
it's
don't know.
frustrating because
It's horrible.
she's had two fights at Rajadamnern already. She's the first Katoi to ever fight at Rajadamnern openly as a Katoi.
Yeah.
And she's quite good. Like, she's not incredible in terms of, like, on the scale of, like, all fighters, but she's really good. She's
Yeah.
aggressive and exciting to watch and all of these things. And so putting her against competition that is reasonable for that level, to me, is more exciting than pulling someone out of retirement to, like, have a show fight with her. The last time I was training with Karahat, he was like, Songchai called me and asked if I would fight Nong Rose. What do you think? And
Oh
I'm
my God.
like, if you win, that's no good. If you lose, that's no good.
Yeah, why would you do that?
And then they just had this Orono versus Rot Narong, which is like two kind of retired fighters from the golden age facing off, and Orono won.
Yeah, Lumpini, right?
Pinu got really motivated and excited, and he's been like kicking the bag every morning, being like, I'm gonna go fight Orono, and like there's no way he's gonna do this, but he was like really excited by the results. So I don't know if maybe there's like some category of people who watch these show fights that we see as really ridiculous and do like see something kind of exciting about them other than gamblers. I don't know. I don't know,
Yeah, I
it's
don't know. I
weird.
just see it as kind of like an insult. I don't know.
Mean, we have it in the West too, you know, like when Holmes beat Muhammad Ali, that was ridiculous. Like Ali should not have been fighting anymore. And then this Mayweather versus McGregor fight, which we will not talk about, but it's the
I was gonna
same.
say, are we going there? Like
It's the same like super ridiculous but tons of money kind of thing. And I guess there's the discussion about like this is cheapening a sport that we all feel very strongly about, but at the same time,
But it's
it's
always
like,
been happening, so it's not a new thing.
yeah, I don't know. It's odd. I'm going to, so somewhat impromptu, today's theme is going to be talking about finding the right gym for you. Neither of us have super a lot of experience going to lots of gyms. Kevin's laughing at me. He thinks I go to lots of gyms, but I don't. I train one-on-one with people. But since it's very recent for you and you had such success with finding Atachai, what would you say is the kind of process and things you look for in finding the right gym for you?
I found it really hard. It took me like 9 months of searching to like find a good place for me, and it kind of just fell together because you recommended this gym to me. I didn't go looking for it. You were just like, you should try this place out.
It was also brand new, though.
Yes, true. Yeah, I think it's only been open for like 6 months. But I went to a bunch of different places. And it sounds really dumb, but I just feel like don't settle. Like I felt like I enjoyed training everywhere I went, but I just something didn't feel right. Like I couldn't see it as a long-term place for me. Like I couldn't see a home there, and I didn't feel you can't expect to like go to a gym and feel like an instant connection with the trainers and stuff like that. Like, but I didn't feel like I could be there for a long time. And I don't know, it's hard to describe, but I remember saying to you when I came home from like Adachai for the first time, I was like, this gym like feels like home. So I kind of just fell into place really nicely, but and like, don't just settle for some gym just because it's some I think some people don't have the choice, like you when you were at home, you have to like travel for how long to get to your gym? Like
Oh, like an
an hour?
hour and a half, like
Yeah,
that.
so I mean someone like that doesn't have the choice, like but it's weird because in Thailand, especially in Bangkok, it seems absurd that I wouldn't have been able to find a gym. There are gyms everywhere, even where you wouldn't expect them to be, like in the middle of like shopping malls and stuff. And somewhere that I felt comfortable in, and I felt that people would be investing. So yeah, I would say just don't settle. Like you have to just keep going. it was really frustrating, and at times I really thought I wasn't going to find anywhere. I was like, maybe like my last place was kind of, it was just a one-off. Maybe I'm not going to feel like that about somewhere else, and I just have to get on with it. But, yeah, in the end, it worked out really nice.
So you were talking about just how you kind of feel that a gem is right or not. In terms of training, like, what aspects of the training there cater to you, or is it more just the feeling? Like, it just has to be the right group?
For me, I have, like, quite specific needs in terms of, like, schedule as well. So it's not just, like, how the training works, but what time can they train? Because a lot of places I went to don't spar in the mornings, or don't train at all in the mornings sometimes. I needed somewhere that I would be able to get a real good training session in the mornings, because I work in the evenings. So that was a big part for me. Like, before I was at this gym, I was at Eminent Air for a little while. And it wasn't ideal, but it was okay. But they basically, the mornings were mostly just a little run, some pad work, maybe some sparring, maybe, and then bag work or whatever else. It was completely on you to do that.
Yeah.
But where I am now, like, it's much more structured, which I like. Yeah, there's somebody on me every day to do everything. Yeah.
I've had frustrations at every single gym I've ever gone to, even the ones that I absolutely love. Like, at Lana, I was incredibly frustrated that the level of people's dedication and work was, at the time I was there, not matching me at all. And I think a lot of the trainers were really frustrated. The gym was going through a transitionary period, and it was just kind of like, I won't say that the entire time I was there was the same. Like, it moved around a lot even while I was there. But I think when I ultimately decided to leave, it was a time when there was just kind of a starburst of directions that everyone was taking, and it just wasn't helping me anymore. And so the feelings that I had about the gym were still strong, but the training just did not meet what I was trying to get to in order to advance. And then moving down here, you know, it's the same thing where, like, I love Petrongurung so much. Like, I love my trainer. I love the guys I train with. I love the gym. And it's definitely that, like, this is home family feeling. But there are times that, like, my training is not good. Like, it's not good enough for me. It's very frustrating. And it's one of those things where gyms are not the same all the time, because they are like a daily basis way of life kind of thing. It's like,
yeah,
it's not, when you live with your family, it's not the same every day. You know, it's like people go through all kinds of different things. So
yeah, it's definitely a cycle.
Yeah. So
do you prefer when there's like not a big group of people in the gym?
Yes.
I mean, it's really nice. I love it when like I get to train with new people and stuff, but at the same time, like last month was really busy and we had lots of people. But then as soon as they left, I was like, yes. Like, I can, also you get kind of more attention from the trainers and stuff, but yeah, I'm selfish. So I enjoy that.
Well, it's also like, you get into your routine I think everyone needs a degree of routine, in order to do what we do. And when it gets thrown off by like it being really busy, and so like all the bags are taken, or like the trainers are all kind of doing their own thing and working really hard to the side, and it just changes like the dynamic of the gym. And my gym's so tiny that like it feels very full when there are only like six more people in it.
Yeah.
And it can be really cool at times. Like, it's very cool to me to see little kids, international little kids, all training together. Like, I love that so much. But it's also really frustrating because I get kicked out, like, because I'm on the edge of the gym in general. Anytime like all the kids are engaged with like helping out all of the people who have just come in, I totally like get knocked off the side of the boat because I'm on the edge of it anyway.
Yeah, like this morning, like we have a group of Japanese fighters in at the moment, and we all kind of got in the ring for sparring, and then Kurat was like, oh Emma, you go like down, like out of the ring. And I was like, oh, okay. He was like, sorry.
Not you.
Like, yeah. Why not me? I mean, I got to spar, but I was like with the trainer outside of the ring. I think it was more that it was just like more people, but it's like, oh, you're a lady, so you'll go down.
Yeah.
And it's like, you know, when they all take photos and it's always like everyone wants to take a group photo at the end of training and it's like, oh, ladies, like you go down at the front. I'm like, okay.
Yeah. They don't do that to me, which is really good, but it's
every time.
Yeah. Like, and oh. I can tell that part of it is like my trainer caring about me and looking out for me, that like, this group that came in, they do not understand how to spar in Thailand. Like, they think it's a fight and they went way too hard. And then the Thai kids are like, you're going too hard. And so they give it back really hard.
Of course, yeah.
But they're really experienced. So it's like scary.
Yeah.
And it got way out of control. And I was really surprised that the guy who was, running the sparring didn't say anything about it. But I think it's a, like, you know, let them work it out on their own kind of thing. But he didn't want me in that. Like, my trainer was not like, Sylvie, go with these people who don't know how to spar. He's like, stay on the side. But so I have to go to multiple gyms in order to like get the training that I need. And there are times when like all my gyms at once are not doing it for me. You know, it's hard. Every place has its difficulties, and I think just being able to like go with the flow, and focus on yourself. I know how to train myself, so I should be far less emotional about the fact that there are times that it's not good for me, but I get upset. So,
yeah. I did a thing that I felt really, really bad about a couple of weeks ago. We have this one trainer who, like, most of the time he's, like, cleaning the gym. He's not always holding pads. But when he does, like, I really, really love doing pad work with him. It's really fun. And he was in training a couple of weeks ago, and we were, like, rotating around sparring with people, and I've been boxing sparring with everybody else, and then he comes up and he wants to do a round with me, and I don't have shin pads on, and I ask him like, do you want to do boxing or Muay Thai? And he was like, oh, let's just do Muay Thai. I'm like, okay. And he's like doing a lot of like head movement, and I totally accidentally like kicked him in the jaw bare shin and knocked him down and like heard it crack against his jaw, and I felt so bad. Like, he stayed on the floor for a second, then he got up and he was fine, he finished the round, and we laughed about it. But I felt really, really bad. Like, have you ever done something like that you felt like, oh shit, like, especially because it's a new gym, I'm like, oh, have I just really fucked something up?
I don't think so. I think that like kneeing my trainer in the balls or something is like it's like the worst I've done. But oh man, there was this like 95 kilo guy who kicked the pad wrong and like clipped over the pad and hit Pinu in the face and like knocked him out for like a second. It was, cause he's just so big, you know. I'm not big, so I don't really cause a lot of problems to people, but like, there are times when like you do something that's just not right. Like I've twisted Pinu's knee before because we have bad knees, and I'm like bummed for the rest of the day. And he's like, it's okay, it was an accident. And I'm like, no, I'm like really upset about it.
Yeah, I felt really bad. I was actually, I almost like went and bought him a bottle of whiskey to say sorry. And I was really glad that I didn't do that, because then I was talking to Adichai's girlfriend about like the different trainers, and I was like, I really, really love working with him. And why doesn't he always join training? He's always cleaning. And she was like, oh, that's his job. Like, he drinks too much. And so Pratt has told him, until you can control your drinking, you don't get to be a trainer. Like, you're a cleaner. And I'm like, oh, I'm really glad I did not. Like, because then buying that bottle of whiskey probably would have pissed off someone else. Like, and I just would have made it worse.
Yeah, that's very, very lucky that you didn't do that. It's particularly bad, that gesture.
Yeah.
Coming from the right place, though, for sure.
Yeah, I felt so bad. I was like, what can I do? But he was totally just, like, laughing about it. But, yeah, I felt awful.
Were you back on Mother's Day?
Yes.
Did you watch those fights?
Mother's Day was only, like, last week. Why can I not remember?
It was, like, Tanah Chinook versus Nong Vu and,
Oh, yeah, you live streamed it, right?
Yeah. It was actually.
I watched it until your stream went out.
Yeah. and two was speaking as you, so you were particularly rowdy.
Yeah, I was getting really pissed off because I kept telling him, can you stop commenting as me? you're making me look like a weirdo. And I was going to comment, like, any if it's got a spelling mistake in it, it's him. Just a...
I know his voice from your voice anyway. That
yeah,
is not
I know you can totally tell. But I could hear Kevin like, Emma's saying this, and you're like, no, she's not.
What did you think of the Tenan Chinook versus Nongbu fight? So for people who don't know, Tenan Chinook is a WPMF champion at like 48.
I was really glad I'm familiar with her. She seems to be like...
Sorry, there's a delay.
Yeah. I'm not like hugely familiar with Nongbu. She seems to like kind of just popped up for me, but I was really glad that she won that fight. Like, this is not, it wasn't the title that Tenan Chinook already has, right? It was a new one?
I think it was new, yeah.
Okay. Yeah, I was really happy that she won it, because, like, Tenan Chinook's a fucking amazing fighter, but the way she was fighting it, like, would have been kind of just annoying. Like,
if she
still won, because she barely scored.
Yeah. I thought it was so incredible, because it was such a perfect display of how Tenan Chinook fights, like, how she can pull it out at the last second, and then she was so slick in round five, I was like, oh my god, can she have done it? And I'm glad, actually, that she didn't, because it's not fair to, like, be able to do that, even though she's able to do that. But it was an exciting fight because of that, I think. So to go back, Tenan Chinook is a Kyusum Rit fighter. She's very well known. She was Fighter of the Year in 2016, Female Fighter of the Year. And she's been WPMF champ for, like, 4 years at, I think, two different weights, but it's confusing because, like, she'll fight for a title at a weight that isn't the weight of the belt or something.
And you fought her, what, three times?
I think
five times. Oh, wow.
And I love fighting her because she's such a challenge. She is significantly bigger than me, but our styles kind of make it a really good challenge for me. And then Nongbu kind of came on the scene. I was like you, like, she kind of came out of nowhere, but like months ago for me. And she kind of was getting attention because Samart Payakaroon kind of like backs her. But she's from a gym that's called Sit Yodsian, which makes no sense to me because Yodsian is Karahat and she's not at his gym. So I don't know what that is. But she's kind of older. I think she's like 22 years old. She's on this like winning streak. I think for the last like 6 or 8 fights that I'm aware of. And I really liked her kind of performance upon winning the belt. It was so bizarre, her like running through the air and doing her like arm things, and it was very exciting. That guy in the corner looked a lot like her. I wonder if it's like her brother or something.
Could have been.
But then there was another fight on there that was at a ridiculously high weight for what both of those girls weigh. I think it was like 147 pounds between Fassi Tong and Mesa, both of whom fight Claire Baxter of Australia all the time. But I don't think either of them weigh 147, and they fought for that WPMF belt. And I think I had thought that Mesa was the replacement, but apparently Fassi Tong was the replacement for Claire, who was sick. So Mesa and Claire will fight later, but for a different weight than that one.
So Claire, which title did Claire just win? Was it WMC?
I think it was, yeah.
Okay, never mind, yeah.
But that's the thing with these belts, is that like they come out of nowhere, people fight for them who don't hold them. Other people will have them and they just kind of put it in. The fight in Japan that just happened between Saya Ito and Fa Cheng Rai, that fight was supposed to be between Saya and a different Thai girl who I had never heard of before. And then when I talked to Saya prior to the fight, this was a WMC title. Saya's like, it's at 102 pounds, which isn't a weight class, so that was weird. And then apparently when they went to weigh in, the WMC was like, oh no, it's not at 102 pounds, it's at 105. So both girls had dropped down to 102, but it had to be at 105 because 102 is not a weight class.
Right.
And I thought it was pretty exciting because Fa Cheng Rai is a good opponent, But the fight itself was like...
Go back to the other fight. Two great Thai girls you won't talk about. I'm serious.
Okay. Kevin wants me to go back to the other fight.
Okay.
And Fasi Tong.
So, Fasi Tong versus Mesa.
Who are they?
Both of them are well-established, kind of like late-teen, early-20s fighters. Mesa is from this Bor Buamat gym, which produces a lot of boxers. And her boxing is actually stellar. It was really, really good in this fight. She was, like, pivoting off. And Fasi Tong is... I don't know where she's from, but she fights in Asan quite a lot. And she's more of a, like, kind of dern knee fighter. And I thought after the first round, actually, that Mesa was in a lot of trouble. But then it totally started to switch, like, as the fight went on. I was cheering for Mesa the whole time because I really like her. I've seen her fight in Chiang Mai a couple of times, and I just really like her. Not only her style, which is very hands heavy, which I don't tend to like, but I really like how she does it. But also she's just like a cool girl. Like she's just like she's a Tom. She's got this like really swaggery attitude. And so I was looking forward to that fight, and I was really kind of amazed at how, Mesa was able to turn it around in a way that basically Fasi Tong didn't change what she was doing at all the entire fight. And it just stopped working. It was like the excitement of the fight was like, oh my God, it's not working anymore. It just totally reversed.
Yeah. What do they normally fight? Like what? Like 60, 63 kilos? Something like that?
Yeah, I don't even know if they walk around at 60. I think that Mesa is maybe 58 walking around. Okay.
Nick says that neither of them weigh 147.
Nick at Santai, who is managing Claire because Claire trains at Santai, he said that neither of those girls walk around at 60, that they're both underneath.
Yeah. Because I remember when Fasi Tong fought Kelly on Muay Thai Angels, but I don't remember what weight that was at.
Did Kelly fight twice on Angels?
Just once, I think.
When did she fight Peach?
Oh. Never mind.
She did fight Fasi Tong, but I think she fought her like in Kanchanaburi or something.
I don't remember. We'll have to ask her.
Yeah, we'll have to ask Kelly.
I think it was like a bullshit stoppage. Kelly was really pissed off that they stopped the fight when she fought Fasi Tong.
Huh. But yeah. Fasi Tong fights men sometimes, right? In Asan?
I've heard that, yeah.
Yeah. She's tough. She's very, very aggressive. And she beat Caitlin Young, who's a kickboxing Muay Thai fighter in America. That was up in Mahasarakham. And Caitlin was confused about why the scoring went that way. I don't think I ever saw it, so I'm not sure. But Caitlin lost her WMO title, whatever the Master Woody title is.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that was at like 63, 64, or something like that.
So speaking of like not understanding scoring systems, this fight in Japan... I did not get.
Did you watch it?
Yeah, I just watched it last night. Kevin's been like reminding me to watch it all week, and I only just got around to it last night.
What did you think of it? Like, I know that you kind of already had information about it when you watched it, which might flavor it a little bit, but
I just thought to me it was a clear win for Fa Changrai, and I can see why she was so pissed off at the end of it. She was like, "What the fuck?" Did you say she's fought in Japan before?
I don't think she has, no. But Cru Lek...
She's fought Japanese fighters.
Yes, she fought Little Tiger in Thailand.
Right,
But, like, Cru Lek of Phor Mong Pet, who has brought... he said that he's brought Nam Don over there a bunch of times, and she kicks and kicks and kicks, and then will lose the fight. So he's aware of the difference in scoring. And then on the, like, female Muay Thai pages in Thai, they were talking about how Fa Changrai had gone backwards too much, so they seemed to understand that on an international scoring, you can't be as, like, defensive. But what I found amazing is that a couple of people, not only Wonder Girl's father, but also Angie, who's not an expert on Muay Thai by any means, but she thought that Fa Cheng Rai's kicks and Saya's kicks were similar. And I'm like, one was landing and the other one wasn't.
Yeah,
which is a big difference. And then one was like hard kicks, and then Saya's looked like they were just kind of being flipped.
Skipping, yeah.
Yeah, and I like Saya. I'm not trying to be a jerk about it, but like you have to look at what is actually happening in a fight. And one dude was like, without even counting landed strikes, blah, 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 blah. And I'm like, why would you not count landed strikes? Why would that not?
Yeah, what world would you not count them? But even though Fa Cheng Rai was going backwards the whole time, like, she was blocking and kicking back beautifully the whole fight. Like, she blocked so many kicks.
It's that Western thing of getting credit, but, like, scoring credit for aggression, which it's, like, just moving forward gives you some kind of points. I don't understand how it works, but I guess it... I guess it was reading as though Fa was tired or trying to avoid fighting, or I don't know.
Yeah. Maybe kind of like Max, where, like, as long as you're powering forward in the last round.
That was an incredible thing. On that Mother's Day card, there was this Swedish guy. He's like this little Viking, and he only punches and clinches. He's from Kyusum Rit Gym, and he won a Max belt by fighting his own trainer from Kyusum Rit in a tournament.
What the fuck?
It wasn't good. But seeing him fight in like a kind of regularly scored Muay Thai fight after having seen him fight on Max a bunch of times, mm-hmm. or twice, I don't know. His style works great for Max. Like, he's designed for Max. But you put him in like a normal kind of Muay Thai scoring fight, and this dude, this Thai guy, was just like landing anything he wanted and just going, it's like he was moving in slow motion. Like, the Thai guy was just like, and that one goes. And it was pretty incredible to see, because of one fighter in both of those contexts, how he fights, being able to see how different Max scoring and fighting is. Because you can try to explain to people that like it's not like regular Muay Thai, but if you like watch those two fights side by side, where, like, he is designed for this one fight and then, like, can't even handle this other fight of, like, a moderately skilled Muay Thai fighter. It was very interesting to see.
Yeah, Tu is fighting on Max tomorrow, who's meant to be fighting in, like, a week or two, but they asked him to fill in for somebody else who dropped out, so they were just like, whatever weight you want to come in at, like, fight on Sunday. So he's gone to weigh in today. And he's, yeah, I've got the whole apartment to myself. And he had this, like, huge epiphany after his last fight there, because he was like, how the fuck did I lose that fight? And his trainer, like, not his trainer, the guy who, like, runs his gym, had to, like, sit him down and be like, this is how the scoring works. And he's been fighting on Max for some time, like, more than a year. And there was so much stuff that he didn't know. Like, if for example, Salance and you don't fall, like, they lose a point. And he was like, there's a lot of stuff I didn't get. So hopefully he'll be able to like use that in this fight tomorrow. And because he's had a lot of decisions where both of us were like, what?
Right.
On Max. But even he didn't understand the scoring.
Huh. That's interesting. It's
It's
one of those things where that translated from the Thai fighting over into the Saya Ito fight. She caught tons of Fa's kicks, but then wasn't able to do anything off of it. And I'm like, in Thailand, if you keep catching it and you can't do anything off of it, that looks bad for you. And the kick is scoring each time. So it's interesting that non-effectiveness does go into Max scoring, because it seems like it doesn't matter at all. Like, people like windmill miss tons of stuff, and it seems like that is scoring, but it's interesting to hear that it kind of officially isn't supposed to.
Yeah. And in that fight, Fa, she would get her kick caught, and then she would like turn her knee down and put her shin across Saya's body and just like control the whole time, sometimes yank her head down. I just don't see how she didn't win. I mean, like, I wouldn't understand Japanese scoring at all, but
there have been some very interesting times when pretty well-established female Thai fighters will go over to Japan to fight shoot boxing.
Uh-huh.
I love Rena, so I've seen a bunch of shoot boxing, but I do not understand how it scores at all, and they don't seem to explain it to the Thai girls at all. So it's like, they're getting choked in the corner, and it like it's like what the hell is going on? Or they'll be chastised for clinching, and it's like they have no idea what's going on. And it's interesting to me that so many people go to fight without investigating what the scoring is in that context. It happens when people come to Thailand from the West, and they're like, "What the fuck? I totally got robbed." It happens, Thais go abroad and they're like, it's Muay Thai, it should be exactly the way I know it to be, and it's not.
Yeah, yeah.
You go to China and who the hell knows what's going on over there. Like... Oh, speaking of which, Stamp, Nong Stamp, who people might know from the Buffalo Girls documentary, she recently got signed by Fairtex, so she is now Nong Stamp Fairtex. She's the first Thai female fighter sponsored by them that I'm aware of. And she's like living at the camp and all of this stuff. She even trained jiu-jitsu the other day, so I don't know if they're trying to like MMA her, but they are trying to start a female MMA team there.
That's exciting.
But she is fighting in America in September. She says against Sylvia Linote, which means probably like 48 or 50 kilos. And it'll be interesting because she's a clinch fighter and America is not a clinch fighting friendly place. So we'll see how the scoring goes. But Fairtex has become a sponsor of Lion Fight. So I think it's on Lion Fight, but I'm not 100% sure on that. But it's a huge deal. I don't know of Thai female fighters who have gone to America on big fight cards like that.
Yeah, that's really exciting. And you've been training with her a couple of times, right? You've been going to clinch with her?
I did a couple of times. And then there was an issue with the guy who had initially invited me. So we haven't gone back. But she's training hard. She's she fought on that Mother's Day card, but on the non-televised part.
Oh, did she? I didn't know that.
She fought a woman named Petneri, who I thought was this girl that I'd seen her lose to before, but it's a different Petneri.
There are a few different Petneris.
Yeah, and they're all at the same weight, which is really bizarre.
Yeah, confusing. Yeah.
But in the same token of Fairtex trying to have this MMA team and Stamp training jiu-jitsu once, Loma, my nemesis, frenemy, whatever you want to call it, I love Loma.
She's a tiger, right?
She's a tiger, and she is going to have an MMA fight. Like, she's going to have some exhibition fight in Thailand, and then she probably is going to go to America for an MMA fight, and it's mind-boggling to me. Like, it's crazy to me. She's fighting at 105 pounds. That's not, like, a huge, you know...
Yeah, who's she going to fight?
I don't know. There are women in Invicta who are at 105 pounds, but they're pretty good. Like, there aren't a lot of, like, beginner 105 MMA fighters that I'm aware of.
Oh, okay. I mean, maybe she'll end up fighting on one of the MMA shows in Bangkok.
I think she's supposed to do like an exhibition fight first, maybe on that one or whatever. But it's bizarre that she's like down at Tiger and kind of, you know, she'll post updates on Instagram of her and like all of her rashies, and you can tell that she's like really proud of her like gear.
Yeah,
it's like not the nakedness of Muay Thai or whatever, but I just can't imagine what Ajarn Surat from Deshrat Gym, who trains the national team, I can't imagine what he thinks. Either he thinks it's fine because you're making money, it's like a better fight purse going and fighting in America, or he's like, what the hell is this? Because she's supposed to be on the national team and she's not doing it, so.
Oh.
Yeah, I don't know.
So there's this other big female fight show, this new one coming up in Samui, right?
Yeah, do you know about that?
I don't know much about it. I've just seen like some promo photos going on. Now it's called, oh, I don't even remember what it was. It was originally called like Thai Lady Fight or something like that, and now it's called like Samui Fight or something.
Yeah, I think it was Thai Fight Lady.
Right.
Because I remember asking the promoter if that was a problem with Thai Fight, and apparently in Thailand it's not. You can name something the same thing. But do you know who Sao Sing's fighting? She's fighting someone from Phuket Top Team or Tiger or something?
I don't know who anyone is matched up with. I've just seen, like, individual photos.
Okay, so I know that Chomani is fighting Teresa Wintermere of Sweden, which I'm excited about.
Yeah.
They were in the first Muay Thai Angels together, and I don't think they fought.
No.
But that's a very exciting matchup to me. Cao Sing, I don't know who she's fighting, but I don't care. I love Cao Sing. She can fight anybody.
Yeah.
But they have Petji Ja on that fight card, which means that the Kadu is pretty good. But she's fighting Hong Kao. Do you know Hong Kao?
Hong Kao?
Yeah.
Who you were supposed to fight, right?
Yeah, she's like a, I think she's like a cousin or maybe even a sister of Cao Sing. I think they're related.
Okay.
But she has this, like, very strong, stylistic way of fighting. She's we saw her fight Dakaden.
Yes, we did. Yeah. We did.
So she's southpaw, and she's very bottom heavy, and she basically just likes to throw this left kick and stand in your space, and she's very, like, one point at a time. I think Jija's going to kill her. There's, like, a maybe 4 or 5 kilos between them. If the fight is at, like, 52, and I think Jija's walking at 48, 49 now. But it's not an interesting matchup other than the weight difference. it's not going to go well. But it's interesting that Jija is starting to, take on this particular weight difference, to be fighting these girls on these bigger shows. She's at Venom now for people who are tracking the Pet Jija story. She's not at her family gym. I mean, she is probably in the mornings, but she goes over to Venom, which is a new gym in Pattaya that is very sponsored. It's very huge and bright, and Sudsakorn has a team over there. So it's kind of like her and her brother Mawin just didn't have people to train with, and they were kind of lonely, so they went over to Venom. But they've changed Jija's style. She's way more defensive now than she used to be. She used to be very, like, explosive and kick really, she had a lot of knockouts from, like, kicking girls in the middle, that's not her style anymore. I think I've only seen her win on points for the past year or something.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, there is a weight difference, but there's been a weight difference for quite a while with her.
Forever. I'd like to know what kind of money she's getting for these fights.
I imagine pretty good. Her dad focuses on that kind of thing, so maybe, I don't know, I can't throw numbers out, but they're on TV, so they're probably pretty good. Not near what men are making, but for women, probably pretty good.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know if that, I think that is, the fight is going to be televised, I'm sure, but I don't know exactly when or.
I think it's September 9th is when that card is, unless they moved it, which they sometimes do.
That is like.
If it is on TV, though, I'll try to live stream it and do that. Yeah. All right. Well, we have gone for quite a while.
Oh, yeah.
So is there anything else you want to add in?
I was just going to ask you a question because I had a weird thing the other day when we have this guy at the gym who, like, he's like this. I think every gym has this kind of old guy who, like, he's not a promoter, but he, like, matches people up and sorts out your fights or whatever. Mm. And then when he puts some money on you, he comes and gets into training and starts getting involved. But he, when he told me, like, oh, you're going to go fight on September 2nd, he called me over and sat me down at a table and was like, how much, like, what percentage of the side bet do you want? And I was like, what? I don't know how to answer this question. I've never been asked this before. Has this ever happened to you?
No, I've only ever been asked to put into the side bet, like, how much you want to add in, but I've never been asked that question.
It was funny because then he called over, like, one of the trainers and asked him, and he was like uncomfortable as well. He was like, I don't know, like,
maybe it's, like, not a real question. That's a weird thing.
Yeah, I was confused by that.
Has he been coming in and watching you train?
He hasn't this week, but I'm sure he will be around.
Yeah. There are people coming in as little spies to watch Angie's training.
Oh yeah.
Periodically, it's super uncomfortable. But yeah, I think that's a weird question asking what percentage you want. Usually, it's just like, what do you want to add in? But maybe, did he ask you in Thai?
Did he what? Sorry.
Did he ask you in Thai?
Yeah, so there's probably some things that got lost.
But if your trainer was confused too, it's a weird question.
Yeah, because at first he didn't know how to answer. He went like, "I'll give her all of it, or give her none of it. I don't know. Does it matter? Like, as long as she wins, we don't care." So, yeah, I don't know. And it's not even like I'm going to be fighting like in the middle of nowhere, like in a little like market, like, because that's what we're doing these days. So it's not going to even be a big fight.
That doesn't matter. It becomes whatever it is based on what people want to gamble on it. It's like art. It's just whatever people will pay for it, right?
True.
It's good if someone buys it.
Yeah. We'll see how that goes. I don't know how much money they're putting on it. I'd rather not know.
Yeah, don't ask.
Yeah. But last fight I fought her, I got like 500 baht.
Oh, that's nice. Yeah. I've only been tipped like twice or three times ever.
Yeah. I spent it all on beer for everybody. I just gave everybody a beer and was like, okay, that's fine. Nice.
I was, when I fought up in Chiang Mai, like two nights back to back, and I can't remember. Oh, I was fighting Nang Hong again. This guy came up to me and said he was the brother of the guy who owns the stadium and just like went off about how much money he was putting on, like, and what he would give me if I won and blah, 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 and all this stuff, like trying to like inject me with all of this stuff for, you know, make sure you win and blah, blah, blah. He was quite intoxicated, to be fair. but he gave me nothing after the fight. Like, he,
what prick?
He talked all night about what I was going to get and then nothing.
What an asshole.
Yeah. Whatever. That's being a farang for you, right?
So aside from like doing all of your mental training, like on the side, I can see like your little pictures on the wall, like, what, there's a name for those. What do you call them?
They're called extreme mentors.
Okay. I was never going to get that.
No.
So